Bad News Fam, what's good? It's Sunday. You know we're dropping another episode for you. Even during the holidays, we got you covered. Today's guest, Francisco Reyes Jr., a.k.a. Never Made. He's a fine artist and the name behind the brand. Also, he's the senior designer for Studio One. You might know that as Shipper Fairy Studio. Great come-up story, really inspirational. He's also got like a bunch of stuff for 2020 that kind of got put on damp, so it's kind of fun to chat there. And, you know, he tells us his whole mindset on how he got into the game, his whole theory behind his brand, and just so much more. It's a really inspirational episode. I thoroughly think you'll enjoy it. Make sure you go, you know, follow him on Instagram, buy some goodies. You know, he's got some good prints on there. You gotta get them while they're cheap. Anyways, man, just, you know, soak it up. We appreciate you guys. Bad News Army getting stronger every week, and we're out.
Hey, yo, Bad News, fuck going on? Cracking.
What up, Holmes?
Chilling, man. You know, fucking getting by.
Man, you're on lockdown now, right? It's over.
Yeah, again.
Oh my god, man.
Yeah, shit sucks.
It's not gonna do anything. It's just not gonna do anything.
People don't fucking care, man.
It's not gonna. Not only is it not gonna do anything, it's just gonna put more people out of business. It's gonna make a lot more people cry. And yeah, a whole lot more homeless people. Skid Row was gonna be gone in our lifetime. It's about to be, quadrupled of what it was originally. It's
sucks. But I mean, can't do anything about it really. Kind of just got to go with the punches. Luckily, you know, I'm blessed enough to still have a job working from home. So, you know, wife, like she's a makeup artist, so she got furloughed, and they just took away that extra unemployment from her, and she's just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do now. I was like, I got you, you know, I got us, but fuck yeah, this shit sucks. Imagine for people that don't have, you know, any kind of support like that. It's just a bummer.
Especially for like even like for you though, like you had so much queued up for 2020 that kind of got like canceled or paused.
You had some heaters.
I had some cool shit, like. And it was just like, you know, and like my whole plan for 2020 was just like kind of just officially like start making fine art and stuff.
Really?
And that was like the beginning of the year. I made my list. It was like start treating Never Made more as a true like clothing brand, because I never really treated it like it. And then it was like, start making fine art and have my first solo show by the end of the year. And I had started it, and then it was just like, boom, everything just went to shit, you know?
Because we had something queued up for this year, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just, you know, and I had something huge that I was just like so stoked on. And I'll say it. But then maybe you guys could bleep it out, and just so hopefully it will happen
still live,
again.
Yeah, still come back.
You know, yeah. But I had designed the 2020.
They'll probably still use that. There's no way they're getting rid of that. That's all.
Yeah, like so.
All those ideas.
If you guys could bleep out the
we'll bleep it out. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they had asked me to do. The whole thing and like a collab and like fucking like peace and shit. And I was just like, hell yeah. Whoa. And then this shit happened and it fell on the back burner.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Anyways, so we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me, by the way.
Today's guest is none other than Francisco Reyes Jr., a.k.a. Never Made. Is that your alias too, right?
That's all it was.
Yeah.
To begin with.
It's a brand now, but it really was kind of like your name.
I mean, it's kind of like, I think graphic designers by nature try to brand everything, you know, like, and these days everybody kind of calls themselves as individuals, their brands, you know? So, but yeah, for me, it was more of a design alias, just kind of in the vein of Shepherd and Obey, you know, like, it's like one and the same, you know, like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
So that was like, that was my whole thing. And I was like, yeah, I want to make like a little icon to put on prints and like be known for this alias, but also be known as my real name, you know? So yeah, it just accidentally became what it is now.
Man,
that, I just wanted to go.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about give us like the short story.
We like doing the short come up story, so then we could just like so dig in.
Don't give us the whole spiel.
But. Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners it'll be the first time that they probably heard of me. So I'm Francisco Reyes Jr. I'm a graphic designer, artist, brand, born and raised here in Los Angeles, and I've been doing graphic design since high school, but professionally, like career wise, it's been about, you know, 11 years, like where I could officially say, like, you know, I started getting paid for doing graphic design. But yeah, like when I tallied it up, it's been about 20 years of when I first got introduced to Illustrator and Photoshop and, you know, but I was always into art and stuff. And before I even knew about Illustrator and Photoshop, I was recreating all my favorite skate brand logos on MS Paint on my PC.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was just like, and, you know, it kind of is like the bare bones is basically Illustrator. You know? Then I met Illustrator and I was like, oh, shit, this is the same thing. And then I realized that this is like the professional level industry standard programs that they use for all graphics and stuff, you know. I was born in Compton, California, raised in Carson, but just basically moved around like all the hoodie ass areas around here. they're all like literally adjacent to each other. They all up next to each other, like Wilmington, Carson, Compton. Yeah, it's just like my parents are immigrants from Mexico. I'm first generation Mexican American. And yeah, just like I was into art like my whole life, and I knew I wanted to make a career out of it. There was a point in my life where I almost gave up on it. I was going to become a welder. My dad was like, dude, like, and I was also a musician too. I was trying really hard to, like, you know, make it big and with my bands and stuff. And my design career wasn't going anywhere and my music career wasn't going anywhere. So my dad was finally like, yo, like, it's been a while.
This isn't working
like,
out.
We've been pretty supportive. Me and your mom have been pretty supportive of your artistic endeavors, but it's about time that, you know, you get your shit together. And I was like around 25. I had went and signed up to become a welder at like a trade school everybody kind of goes through. And out here in the South Bay, it's like everybody's either a longshoreman or works at all the refineries because all the oil refineries are out
right,
here.
Right, yeah.
So it was just like, that's what my dad does, you know? So he was just like, you're going to get your welding license or whatever, and I'm going to get you a job. And I was just like, all right, cool. It's just kind of become just like, you know, a normie from the area, that because that's what everybody does.
Jesus Christ.
You know, you're normie. Either a welder or and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how, you know, my parents gave me and my siblings.
Oh no, that's,
you
know, the title.
It was on episode. Some mijo. Painting does not pay the bills.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, so
you were just kind of like, how'd you find Studio One?
All right, so I was like the biggest like Shepherd Fairey fanboy, like I'm sure as probably all three of us were.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of us people our age. And I discovered his work and I was just like, oh my God, like this is exactly the style, like everything. Message, everything. I was like, damn, this would just synthesize everything I love about graphic design and art and just
music,
like,
and put it all in
music, and then just like package it up like perfectly. And I was like, damn, like, that's it. So then, you know, I went through through my phase of mimicking Shepard's work, just
right,
like, just like everybody. But, you know, I never really tried to kind of market that stuff as like, oh, hey, this is like, you know, I didn't want to be like bootleg like Shepard or anything like that. But it was just, it's something, it was like a practice for me, you know, to get my skills to a certain level. And I met my buddy Ernesto Llerena. He worked for Shepard, and I met him in college and in art school. And he was just like, oh, yeah, I work for Shepard Fairey. And I was like, what the hell, dude? You have like,
that guy's real?
Like, yeah, I was like, you have my dream job, bro. Like, what?
He's like, and like,
he's like, you want some stickers? We go to his car and he has this trunk full of like icon stickers and shit. And like, he had like the big ones that Shepard would like, you know,
the ones that are impossible to get, that people didn't know how to get. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I was like, what? He's like, yeah, here, take them. Like, you know, here's some posters. And I was just like, whoa. And me and him became real cool, like, just like on, like, we were into the same music, the same art and stuff. And then, yeah, I graduated. We kind of just lost touch for a while. And I was working at a FYE, like, making freaking $8.75 an hour or something like that.
Minimum wage.
Yeah, minimum wage, basically. And this was around the time my dad was just like, hey, bro. Like, you gotta figure out what you want to do. I was like 25. And so Ernesto, this was like 2010. Yeah, 2010. And Ernesto had posted something on Instagram about needing somebody to help him clean out his studio in Echo Park. So I hit him up and I was like, what's up, bro? Like, long time. Like, I'm down to come through. He's like, all right, dope. So I came and he was just like, how's work, you know? And all that. And I was like, I work at a record store making like nothing, you know, I still live in my parents' house. Like, I'm just kind of like trying to figure out what the hell to do. And he was just like, well, he's like, I've been seeing the stuff you've been posting on Facebook. It's pretty good. Send me a bunch of your work and I'll send it to Shepard. And maybe we could get you an internship there. And I was like, what? Like, for real? And he was like, yeah. And then, so that's when I was just like, I'm like cleaning up his studio and shit. And I was like, hey, fool, like, for real though, can you really like get me an internship? He's like, yeah. And I was like, damn, that's tight. I was like, fool, don't fuck with me. Like, you're really playing with my emotions. With this. Like, I was like, can you really link me with Shepard and potentially get me an internship? He's like, yeah, I'll send him your work and we'll just see what he says. I was like, I bet. So sent him my stuff. A week later, he's like, yo, can you come back and help me clean out my, finish cleaning out my studio? I was like, yeah, for sure. And in that week is when I went to sign up for welding school and all that. And then that following weekend, I went back to his place and he was like, hey, come inside. I want to show you something on the computer. And I was like, all right. And it was an email from Shepard that says, hey, your friend's rad, get him in touch. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, no way.
What a cool.
Like, no, I'm like, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, of course. It never gets old. Yeah. It never gets old.
And so he put his contact on there and then I called and they're like, yeah, you know, we could give you an internship for like 3 months or whatever. And we'll pay you like $12 a day for gas and like food basically. And I was like, yeah, for sure. So I went home and I told my dad, I was like, dad, I swear to God, go to this welding class. I'll do it. I was like, just give me a little bit more time. Like, I just got like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, I have to take it. And he was like, yeah, all right, cool. Like, all right, dope. So I did it. I went and got the internship and I started there. Like, I'd never even met Shepard. The first day I met him was my first day of the internship. And I was just like, I heard his voice. And I was like, oh fuck. Like, that's him. Like, holy shit. And I'm like, and then he introduced himself and he was like, yeah, like, you know, this is studio. He showed me his office and I got a tour of the office. I got a seat. I got my desk. And then, yeah, it was like 3 months. And this other designer, I was working there, his name is Jake. He had put in his 2-week notice, like right when my internship ended, and like around the same time. Like, so yeah, it was just like my internship ended and I was like, and I asked, I was like, yo, is there any way I could get a job here? They're like, nah, dude. Shepherd's like, I wish I could, but we're fully staffed. And I was like, yeah, it's cool. I was like, either way, this is going to look amazing on my resume, you know? So I go home and then they call me like 2 weeks later, like, hey, can you come in and help around with some stuff? And I was like, sure. So I went. That day I left, his assistant was like, hey, Shepherd's going to give you a call tonight around 9 o'clock. Like, don't miss that call. And I was like, what the fuck? What's he want to talk about? She was like, I don't know. And I was like, all right. So I go home and like, I sit on the couch and I put my phone like on the armrest and I'm just like staring at it.
Of course.
I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then 9 o'clock comes, nothing. 10 o'clock comes, nothing. And then around 11, he finally calls and he was like, hey, Cisco, it's Shepherd. I was like, yo, what up? He was like,
what are you doing? Nothing. I was just chilling, man.
Yeah. He's like, what are you up to? I was like, oh, you know, just sitting here staring at my phone waiting for your call.
Yeah.
And then he was like, hey, so I don't know if you heard, but Jake quit and we need to fill that position like ASAP. And you already know the program and like how we work here. And I wanted to offer you that.
Oh, is that us? No.
Not sure, I'm down. But inside, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Oh my God.
Wait, Francis, will you repeat that real quick? Because you had like a little glitch.
Oh, sorry. What part?
Yeah, he
right
called
when he
you.
Was, yeah, right when he was offering it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He called me and he was just like, hey, Jake put in his notice and we need to fill that position ASAP. You know, you've been here for 3 months interning already. You know the flow and everything. So I was like, he's like, do you want the job? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, try to play it cool. But dude, inside I was like jumping off the walls. I was like, dude,
fucking told you, Dad, I'm not going to welding school.
I was just like, wow. And I was like, he's like, yeah, you start on Monday. I was like, all right, dope. And then I hung up and like, I go inside and I tell my parents, I'm like, I got the job. And they're like, cool. How much does it pay? Dude, like they didn't even know.
I was like, literally going to say that. Like they don't, every parent is the same.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, cool. How much does it pay? And I was like, I don't even fucking know yet. Like, but who cares? Like, fuck. We didn't even talk about that. You know? I was like, but it's like, I was like, this is like my idol. And they're like, cool, yeah, we're happy for you. And yeah, the rest is history. I've been working with him now for 10 years. I'm a senior designer on the studio number one side, and I'm his design assistant on his Obeyed Giant side.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now we can get into the fun stuff.
Yeah, look at it.
What's it like? I've known Shepherd. Shepherd has been a good friend for – I think 18 years. I've known Shepherd that long. Eclipse from AWR, Raise Me, you know, Revoke. I've known Shepherd for a very long. I've known Shepherd since he was in the Wiltern building.
Like
a very, very long time. He's one of the nicest humans walking the face of this earth.
Yeah, and he's rad, dude.
When 1 October happened here in Vegas, you know, I called Amanda and Shepherd right away, and Shepherd did two Vegas Strong designs. Mm-hmm. For us, and
yeah,
you know, and it was really cool. Shepherd never charged me for it, didn't even ask. It was just like, I'll have it to you in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't care if even his studio did it. I was just more like, I can't believe Shepherd just like still till this day does shit like that for people and for me. And he's just amazing.
Yeah, dude, he's so generous. Like he really like even like he's that generous to a fault, even to where he's beating himself up over a deadline that he's doing for free. Like, you know, like he's just like, fuck man. I already agreed to this. I told him I'd do it for free. And then that's, you know, that's where I come in and I help him with stuff where he's just like, can you get this to a place and then I'll finish it. You know, he's got so many things.
Of course.
Going on.
It's Shepherd Ferry.
Yeah. And that's the fun part where like I've learned so much from him in that way where he's just like, start this project and then I'll finish it, you know? So it's given me like, you know, I work really close with him and giving me like, you know, a good grasp on the nuances that he likes as far as graphic design goes and his aesthetic and stuff. And he's so fucking nitpicky about shit that I'm like that now, you know. Right. I have an intern and I have him like pen tool stuff for me, and like he'll send it. I'm like, fam, what the hell is this? He's like, what? And I was like, no. I was like, look, like, and then I'll send him like I'll do like a screen cap of my computer. Mm-hmm. Like this is the move when you get to something like this, and I'll just send him like a quick little like tutorial. And he's like, oh, all right. And then, you know, I'm like, this is how you do it. And so, he's just like, okay. And like, even he just finished an internship at Huff, and he's just like, bro, it's crazy how like your nitpickiness has like rubbed off on me now that like I'm implementing like all that stuff in my work. I'm like, good. Like that's how it should be, you know, like just kind of learning from the best and then kind of just sharing that knowledge with, mm-hmm. you know, a younger generation.
Yeah. What's his handle? He's got a pretty dope little brand too.
Right? Yeah. Young like, Damage.
Yeah. Young Damage. Yeah. That's a good one. I was going to say, did he like give you any secret sauce or did, and then, so he shows you all his like tricks of the trade. No one really shares the secrets like that. So it's very like rare to see someone like, hey, not only like, it's like almost like reminds me of like the Medici in school, kind of like Rembrandt being like, all right, let me show you how to paint this, but I'm gonna put my name at the bottom, but let me show you.
Yeah.
Is there cool things that he's like shown you besides like the nitpickiness?
When illustrating certain things, he's like, look, he's like, I know these, like just moving a point like slightly will make a huge difference. Like I'll do something and he's just like, nah, like, look, like move that over just a little bit and kind of turn this Bezier curve like a little bit like this. And then it just adds like, and I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm like,
I've been staring at this for hours. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he comes in, he's like, oh, look, this is how we'll fix it. And then he'll be like, do this, do that, boom, 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 boom. I'm always like 95% there. And then he looks at it and then he just like hits it out of the park. Like
right.
That extra 5% is like what makes him
who he him, is.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, and it's just crazy. I'm just like, and we have this inside joke where I'm always like, he'll show me stuff. I'm like, damn, Shepherd, you're the man. And like, he gets all like kind of like shy about it. He's just like, well, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm like, yeah, like, that's why you're the man. Yeah. You know?
I wasn't kidding when I said that.
Yeah. And on top of working with him, Cleon Peterson used to work at his studio too. I learned a lot from him also. Him and Shepherd are basically like my
same person too.
Yeah. But it's like the inspiration in my work. It's like I take the simplicity from Cleon's work and then some of like the Shepherd's moves as far as, cause we were both influenced by punk shit and skateboarding. And like I said, like when I first saw his work, I was like, oh damn, he synthesized and put like the package together of what exactly I want to do with my career. I try not to copy or anything, but the influence is there.
Oh, it's there. Yeah, for sure.
And the same thing with Cleon as far as like, you know, like his shadow figures, they're all just like single stroke things, but they're simple and iconic. And you can say the same thing about Shepherd's.
Absolutely. Work.
Like the duo. They're both just like equally iconic in their own way. And I try to kind of sort of merge the two, you know, kind of get like a little in between of both. And yeah, I learned a lot from Cleon too. Cleon is a beast,
bro. He is one of the nicest humans,
and he's like more in his new like world as more of like a fine artist, and it's kind I always love to know that like he has like that graphic design background.
That's he did like the Pig Wheels logo, you know, like from back in the day. Like,
did he really?
Yeah, he's like fire. He's got years, and like, and he's a little more just like. Like, he's super nice, but at work, he was kind of just like, what the hell you want, kid? Like, don't bother me. Like, type of shit.
Yeah, still
kind of
like.
And so what I would do is I would go into his files and just like look at his work and look at like his line weights and stuff and study his, you know, not his personal work, but the work that he did for Studio Number One and stuff. And yeah, I would just look at it and see all the moves and whatever graphics he would do for Obey Clothing. They were always my favorite. And so I would open up his graphics and see how he built this stuff. And I'm just like, damn, like this was fucking good. You know, like I just like nerd out like hard. Man. And the same thing with Shepherd. When I first started working there, I'd look for like all my favorite like classic Shepherd prints, like the live files. And like I'd find them and I'd just like zoom in. I'm just like, holy shit. And you see like his masks, his where he like cut stuff or where he merged things and stuff. And yeah, dude, I nerded out so hard on that stuff. I still do. Like I'll go into his folder and like he'll like he had like work on something new or something. And I'll open it and I'm just like, God damn it. Like I'm never gonna be this good, you know? But that's the thing too, also like working with these freaking gigantic like artists, it forced me to try to be that good. Like the bar is set so high from when I started. Like I came in as an intern, I was just like, I want to be that good, you know? And these guys are like top tier like graphic designers, and I think that's been very helpful for me and like my work ethic, because I'm just like, I'm trying to compare myself, I'm never going to be them, but you know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying to be on their level.
Totally. You got cut from the cloth. So you're like, you're going to get there eventually. I was wondering, when in the process did you start freelancing? Did you start freelancing like right away or like looking for?
Yeah, I was freelancing pretty early on, and I was still freelancing when I got the job at Studio Number One. Shepherd was cool with that. Like, you know, I would ask him like, hey, like Joshy at Rebel 8 asked me to do some graphics. Like, are you cool with that? He's like, yeah, like, you know, just don't make it look like it came out of here. I was like, no, it's like they have their own aesthetic.
They got the Sharpie look.
Yeah,
right. And I was like, they're sending me their inspo, and he was just like, oh yeah, I don't care, you know. And then I was just freelancing throughout like, you know, just little jobs here and there. And he was cool with it. And that's around the time when like 2010 is when I started my Instagram, and it was a different name at the time, and it evolved eventually. But yeah, it was just more of like when I first started it, I was like, oh, this is going to be like my online portfolio, basically. I'm going to post.
What did you think of Instagram right around that time? Like you've talked about it like a few times. Me and you have even talked about it.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a photo filter fucking
app. Dude, so did I in the beginning.
But like it was way more interactive. Like people were like seeing the engagement and like the likes and the follows.
And I got on it pretty early, I feel.
Same, but I didn't touch it for a while because I had no fucking clue.
Yeah, same. Like
no one that I was around told me what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was confused by it because I was like, because you remember around that time there was that app, that Hipstamatic app? That
The
Polaroid thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, and I thought it was kind of in the same thing.
Same.
Like the same. And I was like, oh, it's just like you upload a photo and then you put a filter on it and then you save it to your phone.
Dude,
but then I was always like, but what is this like social media aspect part of it? I don't get it. Like, you know? And then I just kind of just was just like, oh, this is kind of a fun, like kind of a blog sort of thing. And I started doing it. And yeah, I slowly just started to gain like traction by like posting my work and these are graphics that I did for Obey Clothing's summer 2012 or 2011 line, and people would be like, oh shit, like you work for Obey Clothing and blah blah blah, you know. And it just kind of started off really early to where people organically like found my work, you know. And now it's like that's impossible. And like there, I get a lot of younger cats hitting me up. They're like, dude, how do I get my follower count up? How do I get my engagement? So I was like, you know what? I was like, you have to fucking pay to play now. There's no way around it. Like before it was like the wild, wild west.
Even if you have followers, like no one's going to see your stuff. Like followers.
Yeah. I have 33,600 followers, and on the insights, like the reach is like 1500.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's funny. You posted something not too long, right, Francisco? Maybe like 3 to 5 months ago, maybe. Or like, is anyone else's algorithm all fucked up? Like,
yeah,
right.
I always post about that. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, here? No, I totally agree with you. Like, bro, like last week my shit dropped crazy. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then this week it like bounced back up a little bit. I just had a call with those guys that have this app called Community. Mm-hmm. And it's like an app. They launched it through like music, and it's where you could text people, right? Like you have a phone, you have another number, and you could talk like it's you. But I have a lot of friends who have like a crazy following. I have some friends that have 400,000 people in their address book, and that's how they do really well with it. Mm. And the guy that runs it, he came from Facebook and Instagram, and he's like, dude, I just knew where it was going with the algorithm, and I couldn't do it anymore. He's like, it was you just don't know who you're talking to anymore. You don't know, like, even if I go on the explore page, it's like, I get it. My phone knows one of my best friends is Machine Gun Kelly and that I love graffiti. Like, I was like, bro, this is horrible. Like, what is going on?
The whole point is to discover new shit. 100%. Not just feed you.
That's the one thing I missed. That's the one thing I missed about the popular page.
Is just
learning new things.
Yeah. And I was lucky enough to kind of get on that shit early enough to build a following, like as far as being known as a graphic designer, you know?
Yeah. What's been like your favorite thing to work on the Shepherd Fairey front?
You know, it's always fun when he starts to work on a new body of work, when he starts like kind of brainstorming, you know? And that is like such a cool part for me, because I'll give him ideas, or he'll ask me, he'll be working on something and he's like, what do you think about this? I'd be like, I'd do this, I'd do that, move that here, move that there. And then he's like, yes. He's like, good move, you know? I was like, well, I learned from you, dude. You know? But just kind of seeing how it develops. And this fool's work ethic is just insane, man.
Right.
Like, and again, that's something that's rubs off on me. Like I work full time with him, and then I do Never Made full time after hours, you know? So it's like, I have the 9 to 5, then I have the 5 to 3, 4 a.m. Cause I work, you know, on my stuff. That's the time I have to work on it. And then on the weekends, I make time for my wife and, you know, my family and hang out with them. So I try to really keep it like segmented, you know, in that way. But just seeing how crazy and the crazy hours that dude puts in.
Do you find it hard to work like that many hours in a row, especially like?
Nah, I do what I love.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
so you can just do it all day.
I could literally do it all day. Like, you know, sometimes I need to step away from the computer, like as far as my personal work goes. Just cause like I'm constantly working on my job is to be creative, right? With Suitor Number One and stuff. Sometimes when it's time for me to be like, okay, I need to work on my stuff, I find myself trying to force myself to be creative. I'm like, I've got nothing right now. And it took me a long time to really accept that and be like, all right, dude, like take 2 weeks off, you know, like stop freaking worrying about like, if you don't post, you're going to fall further down in the algorithm. You know, I really gave myself permission to not be so hard on myself as far as that goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause like, what I do, it's like, I'll design like for a week straight and I'll have a month. I'll design like a month full of posts and like 2 seasons, you know, and then I need to take a month off. Cause I'm like, I need to recharge. Like,
right.
You know? I'm like, I need to recharge and just like chill. Like,
and I've seen your work board before. You kind of like go all over the place, right? You work on little pieces like all the time.
I Frankenstein a lot of stuff,
right?
You know, like I take from here, I take from there. And yeah, it's a fun way to work. And it's the kind of a way that Shepherd, you know, I learned from Shepherd is like, we always call it Frankensteining, where it's just like say like we find like this vintage photo of a from like the 20s of a lady in like a cool dress. He's like, oh, she's cool, but let's put another face on her. In Photoshop, it looks like a crazy, just like fake, like pose or whatever. But as soon as you like, you manipulate it and you high contrast it and then you illustrate it, it's seamless, you know?
Oh, okay. Right.
So yeah, it's cool. It's like the process is fun. And, you know, sometimes like I'll find like some newspaper clipping from 1919, and then I'll find some cool like protest little image from the 1962 or whatever. And then I'll find something from the 90s and all this stuff. And then it's just like,
just hodgepodge all right, it all.
I'm going to hodgepodge this thing and then re-illustrate it and then make it seamless. And then it's just like, you know, I was talking to my friend about it the other day, and what did he call it? He's visual sampling.
Mm.
You know, like in music, like, yeah, cool, like samples.
I'll take some of this. I'll take this high note.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was just like, he's like, yeah, dude, visual sampling. Like, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I never even like thought of
it that way. Yeah.
It that way, you know? But yeah, it's cool. And like, I work, my art boards are a mess. Like, I'll post it sometimes and people are like, how the fuck do you work?
I know,
like
it gives that? Me anxiety to even look at it. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, you know, in the streetwear game, especially in like the fine art game, like so many people, when they come up with like a name for a brand or a name for themselves, it's always like an ego boost or like a hype, you know, like a hype name. And I felt like Nevermade, what drew me to that name right away, and I think why I was like so attached to it, was it was kind of like the opposite of that, you know? It was like,
yeah.
The no man's brand, you know, like I don't want the fame, I don't want the clout, but yet I'm still going to be here, but I'm never going to be like, I don't know. There was something to
you
me.
Know what's so, funny, nobody's ever put it that way, which is cool. I like,
is there a story behind that, or like, how'd you come across?
Yeah. There's a fucking long ass story. I'll make it short. So when I first started, like my design alias was Dream Digital, right?
Dream Digital. That's like your Dream first Digital. Rap name. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and the whole thing was just like super corny, but like I knew that like the internet was like the way that people are going to get, make their dreams come true and like get famous or whatever. Right. So that was kind of what that name meant. It was just like your dreams in the coming future are going to be manifested through the internet, whether it be through like your social media, your website, whatever, like you're going to fulfill that shit through the internet, because that's just the way things are going, you know? And I had a sticker that said Dream Digital. And then I always think it's corny when people like start something really early, but they still put established like 2020 or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's way too yesterday. Soon. Yeah. And I'm like, so I was like, I put Dream Digital and then I put Never Established, because I was just like, one, I don't want to establish myself in anything, because I don't want to give myself any kind of pigeonhole myself on anything. Mm-hmm. And two, it was like, fuck the establishment, basically, you know, like never conform to the establishment sort of thing. And then one day I had my sticker out like in the parking lot at work, and Shepard was like, hey, that Dream Digital sticker out there, that's yours, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, I really like the Never Established. He's like, drop Dream Digital and use Never Established. I was like, yes, sir, you got it. You know, I was
right?
Like, he was like, that's way better than Dream Digital. I was like, I know Dream Digital is kind of corny, but it's just kind of like your first band name, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I changed it to Never Established. And then that's when I started to gain some traction. And I did my first collab with Shepard under Never Established. And so once I did that, my follower count went fucking through the roof, you know? But then it got the attention of somebody who owned the copyright, the trademark for Never Established. And at that time, I didn't know about USPTO.gov, which all you people out there listening, young designers, if you want to cross-reference a name, go to USPTO.gov and that's how you find out if something is trademarked or not. But I was stupid and I just Googled it And then I checked like Instagram and I was like, oh, it looks like nobody's using Established. I was like, yeah, but it was like never EST. And then I gained some traction and then I got a cease and desist and I was like shitting my pants. I was like, oh my God. I was like, what the fuck? I got a cease and desist. And luckily at work, we have a lawyer on site that kind of just handles all that, this sort of thing for Shepherd, and sends out cease and desist and stuff. And I told her, I was like, yo, I just got this fucking letter. What the fuck do I do?
I'm going to jail.
She read it. I was like, oh my God. She was like, do you want to fight it or do you want to just relinquish it? I was like, I want to relinquish it. I want these fucking people out of my life. Like,
They can have it.
And so she was like, all right, I'll write your response and it should be fine. And I was like, okay. So she wrote a quick, like, little paragraph, sent it to them. And then they were like, cool. So then I was like, damn, I started like a good amount of traction with Never Established. So I was like, all right, the next iteration of this either has to have Established in it or the word never. I was like, never is a cooler word than Established. So I was just like racking my brain for a week. And I was just like, never this, never that, something never, blah, blah, blah. And then I finally like TMI, but I was taking a dump and then I got it.
There goes our headline.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was on the toilet and I was like, never made. I was like, oh fuck, never made. And then I like yelled at my wife. I was like, babe. She's like, what? I was like, come here. She comes to the door. I was like, never made. What do you think? She's like, it's actually pretty tight. Like, I like it. I was like, all right, dope. So I ran straight to the computer and I was like, USPTO.gov, please do not be taken, right? And I put never made in and then boom, it was not taken. I started the process right away. I trademarked it. I changed my name on Instagram. Somebody was squatting on it, but I just did never made with an underscore at the end, which I wasn't like tripping about. And yeah, and that was it. So the whole meaning behind never made is, it's like when you're working on something or when somebody says like, hey man, you made it, you stop progressing, right?
Right.
You stop. Like when people are like, oh man, like when people ask you like, oh, when was the moment that you realized you made it? Like for me, it's just like, well, I never want to have that moment because I don't want to stop. I don't want to stagnate, you know, and become complacent. Like, because once you feel like you've made it, you stop making new goals and you stop trying to reach new heights, you know? So that's pretty much like what the gist of never made is just like, it's never done. It's never finished. Because once you think you're finished with something and you believe it, then you're kind of just like, all right, like you stop progressing basically. So
damn, I love it.
Yeah,
I knew there was a bigger story to it. I was
like, so yeah, and then it's like also like never made, always earned is a tagline that I use, which is
I like that.
Things aren't made, like, you know, you have to work for them. Like, because like I said, my parents immigrated from another country, came here not knowing the language, like nothing, and they came here and they worked their asses off and they earned their place.
Absolutely.
in society now, you know, and taught us and taught me that, you know, things aren't handed to you. You have to work for them. And that's another big component of why it's like never made, always earned, because things aren't just like given to you. Like you have to make them happen with hard work, you know?
Right.
Man. That's crazy.
Story.
I love it. Hey, so I know you just did that big collab with the Chargers and Pepsi. That was really
cool. That was nuts.
That was huge. And then the shirt came out great. And then the video was even better. And then I just saw that you're doing you're dropping some stuff at Urban Outfitters. You've been doing that a few times. You had that.
Yeah, that's what Outfitters, when they came in, is when like the whole thing became an actual brand.
Right.
Because I initially was like, I don't want to be known as a t-shirt brand. Because as soon as you come out as a t-shirt brand, you're pigeonholing yourself to just apparel, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, made the conscious decision that Never Made is my artist alias. And that's what I publish work behind, you know, So I was just doing art prints and just selling screen prints for like 2 years, because I wanted people to know that it's an art alias. And then Urban Outfitters reached out and they were like, hey, we love your work. We want to do an artist series of t-shirts with you. And I was like, boom, perfect timing. Because now people will be like, oh yeah, this artist, Francisco Reyes Jr., AKA Never Made, is doing t-shirts finally. Because I didn't fuck with t-shirts before.
Yeah, I see.
I didn't fuck with t-shirts. And it was just like, all right, guys, I have my first artist series of t-shirts out through Urban Outfitters. And they did three. And they were like, yo, this shit is killing it. They're like, do you want to sell your brand in the stores? And I was like, yeah, but it's not a brand, but sure. Like, let's do it. And then that's when it snowballed more into just like the t-shirt side of things. But I timed it perfectly to where people, now I could play both sides, you know, now it's smart. Just like, he's the graphic designer known as Never Made.
Right.
But he's also got t-shirts, but I don't call it a brand. I call it merch, because it's my work on t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? I like to call it merch over like apparel or a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Brand, you know, some people might know me for the t-shirts, but some people might not even know about
that you did you know, it. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the t-shirt on the inside tag, I tell my whole, it has a story.
That's great.
Says Francisco Reyes Jr., AKA Never Made, graphic designer from Los Angeles. Blah, blah, blah. All my t-shirts have the story printed on the inside tag because I want people to know.
To know, of course.
That's the story, you know? It's not just like, hey, dude, I want to start a t-shirt brand. Let's call it Never Made, and there's no story behind it, you know?
Yeah.
And when I've been fortunate enough to collaborate with Bobby and Mike Sherman from Chinatown Market, and, you know, because they get it. They see, they're just like, oh, this dude's not a conventional t-shirt brand. Like,
yeah,
it's something bigger.
Yeah.
Also, you just saw, you've been doing, you just did a drop a couple months ago with Network. And then recently you just did another Network with Learn to Forget, which is like a collab you guys did.
Yeah. The first time I wanted to see what it was like. And Joey that works over there hit me up and he was like, hey, like, you want to get a drop on Network? And I was like, sure, like, I'm down. You know, it's kind of a hypey crowd. So I was like, it'd be cool to kind of see if those kids, how that crowd kind of reacts to what I do. And then it went well. And then, yeah, I just did the Learn to Forget collab and we dropped it on there. And it's cool. Like, people dig it. And it just, like, it's all strategic, because when you do this stuff, it just opens more doors for you, and people that wouldn't normally see your brand, like, will fuck with it. Like, you know, they're just like, oh, I'm going to go, I want to learn more about both these brands or learn more about this brand. And then that's when they see like the about me section and they're just like, wait, this guy's not even a brand. This guy's a graphic designer, artist. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I tried. Like, and now, like I said, like, I'm able to move through different things, and it's still authentic to me. Mm-hmm. Like the Chargers thing, right? Like, they're like, yo, we want an LA based artist for this project. Like, and we've been eyeing you. And I was like, yeah, I'm down, you know, like, I'm not a Chargers fan per se, but I am a fan of the city that I live in, and I want to do something that'll represent all of LA. And then if I do the Chargers, maybe the Dodgers will see it. And it's just like, we got to do something with that guy, you know? And before the Chargers, I did something with the Clippers, you know? And I'm like, ooh, well, if I do the Clippers, maybe the Lakers will see it, you know? And it's just kind of just positioning yourself in these things, and like in these, you know, arenas where not necessarily if you were seen as a t-shirt brand, you wouldn't get these sort of opportunities. Right.
I love that.
So yeah. And I've done murals now and, you know, and it's just like all this stuff, like, I'm able to do under the Never Made name, because people now know that it's not just one thing. It's kind of
A plethora of many.
Yeah.
I love that.
So what two things do you wish someone had told you before you started the whole thing?
Not to go to college and waste your money on,
We've heard that before.
Design That's a degree. Good
one. Yeah, absolutely.
A design degree. I wish somebody would tell me like, I was gonna say, I wish somebody would tell me how fucking hard it is to run a t-shirt brand is. But Shepard always tells me, he's like, dude, it's a hard fucking business to like be in.
That's why somebody die.
Well, Shepard is just so much more than a t-shirt brand. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, it's like what him and Obey as a company have done. It's like, bro, you're like, I just remember like, not the first time they did Agenda, but like, I remember as Obey was growing, I'd be like, Aaron, that's big. He's like, dude, they fucking and like just to see the SKUs of t-shirts, like fuck the cut and sew.
Yeah.
The amount of t-shirts that Obey has is out of this world.
I know.
Because so many people rep Obey. You know,
it's true, man. Other than that, I don't know. I'd really have to think about that question. But for sure, the college degree thing.
College degree, I think everyone's on your page that went to college. Matt right here still owes like $190 million.
It took me, man.
Yeah, dude.
It took me.
Like, it was like, as soon as I learned the programs really well, I think that was what was the cool part of college. But then I think you have to have, like, you know, when people say like some, either you have it or you don't, like there's that saying, like there's so many fools that I went to fucking college with that I'm sure did nothing with their degree.
Oh yeah.
100%. Like, because they weren't passionate about graphic design, you know, like there's probably a handful of people that went to my school that are actually in it, you know, and I'm one of them. And it's just like, and some people that I'll randomly see somebody, like some of my old like college classmates are like, hey dude, like, are you hiring? Can you give me a job?
And I'm just up? You hooking it up?
I'm like, dude, I'm like, no, I'm like a one man show. Like, I don't have employees, you know? Eventually that'd be cool. But yeah, like, I think if you have the passion for it, then you'll be good. You know, if you learned, and now these kids are just learning this shit on YouTube.
That's what I was going to say. YouTube is the best college right now.
Yeah. And they have the passion for it. And they're just kind of like, it just like clicks.
Right.
You know, like, oh, like teach me the technical stuff, how to do this. And then they get creative with it. You can't teach creativity.
No.
No.
You know, and there's a lot of
people. You're talking to, you talk to a wall if you think that's what's happening.
Yeah. Like, exactly. And there's a lot of people like that. They were just like, oh yeah, I'm just doing graphic design because it seemed easy. I'm just like, oh, cool. Well, I'm not gonna get anywhere with that attitude.
That attitude will get you absolutely nowhere.
Exactly.
So we have two more questions. Tall ass is the hard one, and I ask the easy one.
All right. What do you view? What's your definition of success, Francisco?
You know what? I don't know yet.
That's fair.
I like that.
That's fair.
I think you're the first person that said that.
Yeah, but I like but you I like that because I know your train of thought is like, I haven't gotten to that place yet.
Yeah, I think I've reached a lot of goals that I've had. Sure. But I wouldn't call myself successful or anything like that. But I don't know yet, cuz like I said, I don't want to know yet. Cuz I don't equate money with success or anything like that. Like, I just kind of like, I guess if I had to answer that, is just being able to be creative for a living for the rest of my life.
Right. That's fair.
Damn, that's a good
one.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then, so now I got the easy one is, what's your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Man, nice.
I swear.
Nice. Yeah. That one's just going to win. I'm just going to have like a whole hour of people just going, fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah. Right. And I want to apologize to Tal for that. how we met.
Bro, it's my favorite.
Do you know the story?
I was yeah, the one that, told, the one that told me. I was, I'm a fan of yours. I was following. I was like, yo, this guy just hurt my feelings because I fuck with this guy.
How do we put this guy in the old tower? I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like,
oh my God. I was so fucking embarrassed when you and Aaron came to me and I was like, oh fuck.
The story is
that's a good one.
We were at Palms and I was actually not even there. But Matt sent me Francisco's post saying like, look at this place at the Palms. And it was like the it was the original tower that we haven't even started construction on yet. Yeah. Like, look at this place. I thought, did they just spend like $1 billion on this place? Like small ass roof and like cheap ass art. I was like, this motherfucker. And then the best part, he sends me that thing and I'm like, I'm going to take care of this. Because I remember I like went on your page and or I saw you and I was like, I just walked by that guy 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, Aaron, come with me. And we like went and I'm like, you know, I'm like, do you know that guy? He's like, yeah, that's Francisco from Never Made. I'm like, fuck that dude. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, he's like, Todd, that's like one of the nicest guys ever. Like, I was just with him before you got here.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm not feeling that dude. He's like, Todd, he works for Shepherd. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. I was like, no. He's like, yes. And I was like, and I was like, fuck. I'm like, you need to go tell him that you're my best friend. And he was like, I will.
And I was just like, and he walks up. He's like, I got to talk to you. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, I'm in trouble. You know, because it was at Agenda.
Yeah, it was at Agenda Vegas.
Yeah. He's like, I got to talk to you. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, what did I do? And then he's like, something good came out of something bad. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, this is Tall. He runs the Palms, and you saw your post. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I am so sorry. I was pissed off, though, because, like, we had asked for early check-in.
Yeah.
And then we got there, and then they were like, no, you got to wait another 4 hours or something. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And now we're just like – and they gave us, like, the room that we got – and I was just like,
smells like weed. I was embarrassed.
I thought this shit fucking got like remodeled. I was like, look at this 2008 like fucking Jersey Shore.
The lips on the fucking wall. Yeah. I was so embarrassed because like as soon as Aaron told me who you were, I was even more angry. You know, because I was just like, this is supposed to be like an art hotel. I got to put my artists in like the good tower. You know? I was just so angry.
But I want to apologize. Such a good
story. Dude.
Yeah. Cause
like, I'm actually glad it happened. Cause we may have never have met. I may have met
I know,
you.
Right?
I may have met you at the Long Beach, at Complex Con with Bobby and Ben. Cause I remember that we came to your booth.
Yeah.
You had it on your whiteboard that you were doing a collab with them.
Yeah. It was a little Easter.
Little hint. Right? Yep.
But yeah, I did learn my lesson because like I'm quick.
Nah,
to talk
man,
shit.
Speak freely always, please.
I'm quick to talk shit, but I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, it might get to that person, so I just keep my mouth shut now, like, and not try to be so you know, just talking shit on Instagram because you never know who's watching.
That's one reason why I've never taken this podcast with Matt on the talking shit about people. Cause like there's days where I'm like, I can't believe that person's following me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, or like this fucking guy or like, so I've always been like, try to like keep it at PG-13 where like Ben Baller is a good friend of mine, but that motherfucker will just talk shit about everybody. And I'm like, Ben, you're nuts.
Everyone's on blast.
Just like, I'm like, you're nuts. And I could back all my shit up and I'm still like, I don't want to that way.
I know. I think that's kind of his brand, though. Like,
oh, of course, like, Ben's nuts.
Give a fuck, motherfucker.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go. Let's motherfucker go. All right, Ben. I love you, Ben. But, dude, Francisco.
Thanks, man.
An hour fucking flew by like that, dude.
I know. Fuck. I didn't even realize it. Yeah. But, you know, I want to thank you guys. Like, I really appreciate the invitation to be on here. It's a real honor talking to you guys. And
I just want to – all you kids out there, this dude that we're talking to is – probably one of the most talented graphic designers
out there. He's probably done 80% of your favorite t-shirts. and then some. And
there's ghostwriters in art too.
Yeah, he is such a talented soul. And I watch some of the most respected people that I respect bow down to him. So I don't wanna like damn. I don't wanna just blow you up like yeah, that.
I can't wait to see what 2021
but has. This motherfucker right here literally is he's a gift, and I hope all you guys follow him and appreciate his work, because he is a very, very talented soul.
Go buy a bundle off his page. He's got bundles.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate those words, man.
Of course, man.
That was really cool of you. And dude, thank you guys so much for supporting.
Of course, brother.
Nice.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, Francisco.
Have a good night, man.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you. Bad news. Fuck going on.